Saturday with Colm O'Mungon on RTE Radio 1.
Now to the Middle East, and as of now, a 42-day ceasefire is expected to commence in Gaza tomorrow at 6:30 in the morning. Well, I've been speaking to Jenny Higgins, who's from Dublin. She's currently working in a field hospital in Mawasi at the southern end of the Gaza Strip as part of the UK Med team. I began by asking her what the situation was like there today.
Definitely since the announcement of the ceasefire, there has been a lot of, let's say, cautious optimism and relief, especially amongst our national staff and amongst the displaced people that live outside of our facility. I think there was a little bit of initial quiet celebration, let's say, on the announcement. But since then, I think people are just waiting for tomorrow for it to take effect to really see what happens. And I think there's also a sense of anticipation of, you know, what might happen after, what people might realise has happened, and, you know, the kind of destruction of maybe their houses. And, you know, many of the colleagues I work with have, I mean, nearly all of them have either lost their homes or lost loved ones. So it's kind of a, let's say, not a big cause for celebration as of yet. I think it's a definite time of reflection, as I said, cautious relief and optimism of what's about to come in the next days and weeks.
Right. I suppose in any conflict, including this one, there has been a fear that in the lead up to any ceasefire agreement, there's an intensification in the violence before mm-hmm. the guns ultimately fall silent. Has there been any sense of mm-hmm. that around where you are, or what are you hearing on that front?
Yeah, I mean, for myself, I will say it's been not super noisy, for want of a better expression, in the last couple of days. There was quite a large airstrike this morning. But yeah, I think it remains to be seen. You know, what I might experience in my area is not necessarily what's happening, let's say, near Gaza City. You know, I wouldn't necessarily hear that. But certainly everyone is quite worried about that, you know, just because they've already been living through this for the last 15 months and, sure. You know, just kind of want to get to tomorrow as much as possible, or as quickly as possible.
Tell us about the field hospital you're in. It's mostly tents, is it? Just tell us about maybe what kind of healthcare is being offered and how the winter temperatures are affecting that.
Sure. So since about January 2020, UK Med have been operating in Gaza and deploying two fully operational field hospitals. So it's a mixture of tents and some buildings constructed from wood, tarp, corrugated iron, etc. So our main facility, we call it the Type 2, or it's a secondary healthcare facility, which is in Mawasi. It provides a range of inpatient and outpatient services, including primary healthcare, 24-hour emergency department, you know, pre- and postnatal services. We deliver babies. You know, and we also have two fully operating theatres, and we usually have international surgeons based here as well, offering mostly orthopaedic and plastic surgery. So we have around 500 national staff here and about 20 expatriate staff at any given time. So it's quite a big response, and we've seen around 335,000 consultations so far. You know, and we've, you know, it's really been a response made possible by the dedication of the national healthcare workers here. You know, the work they've been doing is really Trojan since the beginning of the conflict, and you can imagine their tiredness and fatigue and what they've lived through as well. But they're really critical to the response that we've been able to have and to reach so many patients at this time. It's really impressive, and especially considering most of them have been displaced multiple times, you know, have lost several family members. And, you know, as you said, winter is setting in. And
yeah, what is the effect of that? I mean, you said sure. Your hospital accommodation is, you know, corrugated iron, but Mawasi itself is, it's tents on sand dunes, basically, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Like, you know, around me now, as far as I can see, is tents of displaced people. And they're not tents like the way we would think of tents, you know. They're not fully waterproofed tents. They're kind of makeshift structures made out of what people can find in terms of tarp or bits of plastic or blankets, you know, and it's sitting on sand dunes, as you said. Thankfully, we haven't had as much rain as normal until this time of year, but we did have 2 days of incredibly heavy rain around New Year's. We even had a bit of flooding in the hospital, especially in our type one. But around here, you know, you just can't imagine what it's like for the people that are living in these kinds of structures. Like, it's impossible. It's very, very cold at nighttime. It's very, very damp. And, you know, people just don't have the right clothes, because one thing, you know, that we've been saying is, well, we definitely welcome the ceasefire. what needs to come kind of urgently is unfettered access of humanitarian aid at a massive increase as well, because basic things like clothes for children. I see hundreds of children when I drive from one of our, you know, field hospitals to the next. And, you know, most of them don't have shoes, or if they have shoes, they're sandals that are maybe four times too big for them, and definitely not enough winter clothing. And then if there is clothing in the market, it's incredibly expensive because it's not available. And it's not just that for clothing, it's also for food. It's been incredibly difficult. People have been really insisting on, you know, things like bread or rice, you know, which is just not sustainable in this weather, and just not sustainable nutrition for children as well. I mean, even from, you know, let's say a personal standpoint or perspective, back in October when I was here for 7 weeks, I lost 6 kilos in about 6 weeks, you know, which was quite a lot. And that's me as an international worker here that has access to food that we bring in ourselves, you know, to supplements, to some extra calories. So imagine if that's what I lost, that what it's like for the people outside who don't have any of those resources. So even with, you know, an end to the hostilities, we need a rapid increase of aid for the humanitarian situation to improve.
And that was Dubliner Jenny Higgins working in a field hospital in Moasi with UK Med. Mary Butler, can I go to you first? Because a small number of Gazan children who were brought here before Christmas, they were children with health problems and their siblings. Considering the trauma they've been through and the medical need they had, how are they being supported, first of all, and how are they managing?
So 8 children arrived in Dublin, as you said, on the 19th of December with 8 carers and 11 siblings. They all received a full medical assessment. So some of the children have various health needs, including treatment for cancer, hemodialysis and a range of medical conditions. Some of the children are receiving outpatient treatment, but there are some of them that need inpatient treatment, and they also need supports in relation to therapeutic and, you know, psychosocial care after the trauma that they have been through. The Red Cross are looking after their accommodation. We expect to receive more in the coming weeks on a case-by-case basis. Each child subject to the type of care that they need and the capacity we have. So, for example,
do you think access for their carers and the like would be any easier in the context of a ceasefire in terms of actually getting them out of Gaza?
I would hope so, because the medical evacuation was with the assistance of the Slovakian government. The air transport was provided from the Egyptian government. So there was a lot of cooperation there. But there's, like, this is only the tip of the iceberg, 8 kids and their siblings. And we can only imagine, like, the trauma they have went through for the last 15 months.
Right. When can we expect that arrival?
So they expect more on a case-by-case basis, depending on the capacity we have. So, for example, we're not taking children with specialist orthopaedic needs because we don't have the capacity there ourselves, trying to get through our own waiting list. So they'll work with their partners. And I would expect, subject to this ceasefire, and I know it's only the first ceasefire, and we will see, you know, please God, that it will go well. But
the 42-day window, that's at least guaranteed by this. By this aspect.
Yes, that's my understanding.
My apologies to my other two guests. We are out of time on this, and that's all we have time for.